Hey, Mama, you understand that?
No.
Well, like, I don't understand how you can, because, like, I've been to, you know, Paris, Beirut, you know, I've been to Iraq, Iran, Eurasia, you know, I speak very, very, fluent Spanish, todo está bien, chévere.
Listen up, bien
chévere.
Bien
chévere. Is that right, Mama? Yes, yeah. I got my shaker, room, I'm gonna do the thing.
Everybody's got a thing, but some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, Mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out. You say your style of life's a drag, and that you must go other places. But just don't you feel too bad when you get fooled by smiling faces. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, Mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it.
And welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibration, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. We are better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to give you my intro, and it goes a little something like this.
Music is like poetry, and it has a message. And history is like a diamond, and it shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definition. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back the curtain of our musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora. And you are bound to find our quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibration. And thank you very much once again for tuning in and joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now this morning, Walter Pierce, our student host, presents information on the life of Amiri Baraka for his historical diamond of the day. Now, his definition of the day will be on the word community. His musical insight for the segment of curtains will be on the composer and saxophonist, John Coltrane. The program will also include comments from the elders and before and after each segment. And I want to remind all of our elders, this show is always evergreen, if you know what I mean. All right, so now, without any further ado, I introduce to you our student host. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And now it is time for diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, the diamond of Amiri Baraka. And he was born Everett Leroy Jones in Newark, New Jersey on October 7, 1934. His father, Colt Jones, was a postal supervisor. Anna Jones, his mother, was a social worker. He attended Rutgers University for 2 years, then transferred to Howard University, where in 1954, he earned his bachelor's in English. He served in the Air Force from 1954 to 1957, then moved to the Lower East Side of Manhattan. There, he joined a loose circle of Greenwich Village artists, musicians, and writers. The following year, he married Hetty Cohen. He published his first volume of poetry, prefaced to a 20-volume suicide note, in 1961. From 1961 to 1963, he was co-editor with Diane DePrima of The Floating Bear, a literacy newsletter. His increasing mistrust of white society was reflected in two plays, The Slave and The Toilet, both written in 1962. Blues People, Negro Music in White America, which he wrote in The Modern, an anthology of new writing in America, which he edited and introduced, were both published in 1963. His reputation as a playwright was established with the production of Dutchman at the Cherry Lane Theater in New York on March 24, 1964. The controversial play subsequently won an Obie Award for Best Off-Broadway Play. It was made into a film. In 1974, Baraka adopted a Marxist-Leninist philosophy and dropped the spiritual title, Imamu. In 1983, he and Amina Baraka, his wife, edited Confirmation, an anthology of African-American women, which won an American Book Award from Before Columbus Foundation. In 1987, they published The Music, Reflections on Jazz and Blues. The autobiography of Leroy Jones / Amiri Baraka was published in 1984. Amiri Baraka, numerous literacy prizes and honors include fellowships from the from numerous foundations, including the National Endowment for the Arts, the Penn Faulkner Award, and the Rockefeller Foundation Award for Drama, the Langston Hughes Award from the City College of New York, and the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Before Columbus Foundation. He taught poetry at the New School for Social Research in New York, literature at the University of Buffalo, and drama at Columbia University. He also taught at San Francisco State University, Yale University, and George Washington University. For two decades, Baraka was a professor of Africana Studies at the State University of New York in Stony Brook. He was co-director with his wife of Imakos Blues People, a community art space, and died on January 9th, 2014. Now that concludes my segment on Mary Baraka. And a little more about, you know, Mary Baraka is, one thing is he's the father to Roz Baraka, the current mayor of North New Jersey. And, you know, there was a couple moments that my dad would tell me, you know, about Mary Baraka, since he used to work in the city of Newark, you know, the time where it was the Newark riots going on, and just a memorable image of him was him standing on top of the car trying to calm everybody down from the riots in Newark that was going on. And, you know, there was just numerous other things he's done with his son, you know, even when it was a march and he had a bullhorn and he was leading his son, and he was in front of his son and he was leading them down the street, you know, and that was just one thing my dad actually told me he was able to experience from Mary Baraka, you know, which is always very cool. And that concludes my segment on Diamonds on, again, Mary Baraka. You are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU. We'll be back.
Okay. Walter, before we segue into the next song, I'd like to bring on Mr. Harris. And following him, I'd like to bring on, we're fortunate enough to have your father on the line, and I'd like for him to tell us the story that he shared with you, if that's all right with you, big brother.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. All right. Mr. Harris, what are some things that you know about Mary Baraka and that building that looks like a bank on Martin Luther King Boulevard across the street from where Walter, almost adjacent to where he attends school now?
Yeah, good morning. It was the place where they had the one of the first Black Power conferences, and Mary Baraka was real instrumental in putting that together. They were supposed to be doing this like before the riots, but obviously the riots happened in July. But in September that same year, in 1967, he brought together people from the regular civil rights community, from the what they call the militant Black community, the Mau Maus from New York, the Nation of Islam. They brought in, you know, he had a whole lot of people together talking about an agenda for Black people within this society. For me, that was one of the highlights of the types of stuff that he did. He was a very strong activist for the Black community, you know, along with all the other things that Walter was talking about. You know, he had a very full life. But his activism was what really attracted me to him.
Okay. Thank you very much. And good morning. My apologies.
Good morning, Calvin. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you this morning?
I know you didn't expect I'm doing great. I know you didn't expect me to pull you in, but I need for you to tell us the story that you shared with your son.
Well, Walter expressed to me that who he was doing a segment on. So when he says, you know, Mary Baraka, I said, well, you know, there's two stories that I know about him. The first one is, as he mentioned, when during the riots, when things are really, really getting out of hand. And if I'm, I think it was on Clinton Avenue, and he jumped onto a car and sort of kind of quelled the noise that was going on because, you know, things were getting a little rough. And he was just trying to quell the crowd down and put them under control and said, you know, there's a bigger fight that we need to fight. So that's one of them. The second thing I would express to him, I remember when his son was first running for mayor. And the only time that I really actually got real close up to him, I was walking down the street and I'm hearing somebody speaking on a bullhorn. And he literally, it was, he was in front and his son was behind him as his son was campaigning for mayor. And that was really my first up close in person to Amir Baraka. However, he's pretty much a legend in Newark, and the things that he's done and the achievement that he's been through. So there wasn't enough time to share all the thoughts and what I've been told about him, but I just had to share those two things with him because those are things that I really know personally through my my youth and my young adult.
Okay. Well, indeed. Thank you very much. Poet Laureate, Amiri Baraka, iconic, aggressive, and prolific writer. And now, ladies and gentlemen, be optimistic.
You can win as long as you keep your head to the sky. Be optimistic. In the midst of sorrow, you can see a man looking down. A brighter day tomorrow will bring. You hear the voice of reason telling you this can't weigh me down. No matter how
You're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations, Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Before we go to our next segment, I'd like to bring the ladies in and let them have an opportunity to speak about Amiri Baraka and whatever type of experience or knowledge base that you have right off the top of your head is more than acceptable in form of a comment and or question. And we're going to start with Val. Good morning. How are you? And so while we're waiting for Val, we're going to go straight to Tanisha. Tanisha, do you have any memory or comment about Amiri Baraka?
Yes. It was by the Newark Public Library, and I got to see him. And I asked him, I said, oh, because I also do poetry too. And I told him I would love to perform with him. And he said, he was like, do you have your weapons ready? And I was like, what you meant by that? He was like, your books. And that was very powerful, because what's the best weapon for someone to have is to be able to read and comprehend and apply it to their own life. So that was my experience with him.
Wow. And that's a powerful moment. And I'm so glad that I thought far enough to be able to include you in this conversation. Val, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have a comment?
Oh, yes. I do have a memory of Mr. Baraka, and that was at a 100 Black Men event in Jersey City many years ago when Mr. Cunningham was the mayor. I was at a function, and he was one of the speakers. And as always, you know, he was very prolific. This was before the this is at the time he was still the poet laureate, before they rescinded that honor to him because of some controversial comments he made. But, yes, I've seen him many times on, you know, TV and video footage, but that was the only memory I have of seeing him in person. And as always, he was fabulous.
And you bring up a very important point. I think that was around the time that the cancel culture was initiated, when an artist is unable to express him or herself to the fullest extent,
right,
no matter who right. might agree or disagree. When you cancel a person out, it's just not good. Right?
Right.
Well, anyway, thank you so much for your input. We're going to go back to our studio host. Take it away. Good morning again, Walter.
Yes, good morning, everybody. And now it is time. And this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Now, my definition for today is community. Now, there's two definitions of community, and there's two different ways you could think about it. The first one is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common, or a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Now, the reason I bring up community today is because I want to talk about our Black community, which has been something that has been up and down in history. You know, of course, after the emancipation of slavery, there was times where African Americans were able to come together and have our own communities and have thriving communities together. And, you know, that led to a lot of problems in the eyes of white people, because they seen us thriving and seen how successful Black people could be if we stuck together as one. So things like, you know, breaking up the community, in a sense. There was one thing I heard about. There was from a teacher of mine, and there was a Black community down in Minnesota that he will tell us about. And it was a very successful and it was a very thriving community down there. And You know, the people, the white people in Minnesota wanted to be able to build a start building highways, but they needed a place to build those highways. So, of course, the way they thought about it is, why not just put the highway through this black community, which completely ruined and destroyed the community. And, you know, that was just a thing that has greatly affected us, especially today. You know, because now we see a lot of black communities that aren't as thriving, aren't as successful. And that is a result due to a lot of history of how they've been broken up. And I just believe the way we need to start getting that back together is to start investing in each other and ourselves so that we could start getting those communities back, because that was the way those were being built. Us, you know, sharing, having fellowship with each other, sharing interests, common attitudes, and all having goals together for both of us, for all of us, you could say, in our communities. And, you know, now I want to just pass on the question to everybody else. And, you know, if anybody else has any inputs on, you know, just in general, black communities as it pertains to today or in history, which will be very important input for the segment.
Okay. Well, let me bring Tanisha Gardner in. And I know... Tanisha, good morning again, and I know you're very high-spirited. He's defined the word
community,
and he's given it his own definition. So
yes.
Go ahead, take it away.
So community, within community is unity, and I want to give a shout-out to St. Benedict's. So a couple of weeks ago, we did a community cleanup, and it was raining that day. And we did it at the Riverfront Park. And when I said those children, when they did an extraordinary job, they had over 2 tons of garbage they picked up and several pieces of bulk, and they also mowed the lawn. And this is the Brick City Rowing Team. And with the Brick City Rowing Team, once the Riverfront River, the Passaic River, get cleaned up, they're going to start rowing on it again. And the last time that they rowed on, did rowing on that river was in the early 1900s. So just for them to resurrect it again, that is very powerful. And for them to come out and help their community and have pride in their community, and they even asked the question, you know, why wasn't it maintained? And for the youth to ask that, and they realize it and recognize it, and they took the initiative to come help and truly clean their community, that is something to be reckoned with. So that's what I say community is. We all come together, you know, whether you be a landlord or you're a tenant, you come together. Whether you be a politician or a business person, you got to come together. We all have to work together. That's what community is to me.
Okay. Mr. Harris, go ahead and kick it.
Oh, yeah, well, Walter made a lot of salient points about what it is to have a community, but I'm looking at it from a historical point of view. Like he was talking about, after the chattel slavery was over, we lived in a very segregated community, and we had to have all of the different components to build a community amongst ourselves. We had our own schools, we had our own banks, we had our own businesses, you know, and all of those things together is what makes a community. That's what made us so successful. But then with the implementation of integration, I think that kind of broke it up, along with the highway system and stuff that came around and all those other things. It took away a lot of those components that built our communities in the past. Like, there are very few black banks anymore, very few black hotels. You know, back in the early 1900s, we couldn't go into any white hotels, so we had black hotels. We had black restaurants that were prominent. And that's what I think is the missing link between the past and today. Today we're more integrated, and it's like adding, like Malcolm X said, it's adding a lot of cream to the coffee, point where it's not even coffee anymore. You know, so those are the things in the community that I'm like concerned about.
Okay. We're going to continue musically with a song titled Wonderful World.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you.
Fresh air.
And now it's time for our next segment, our quest moment. You see, a cornucopia of physics dictates that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium, and all vibrations possess a wave nature. In our community, our art is in fact and in spirit the medium through which our waves travel. Where there is no medium, there are no vibrations. This May, Mental Awareness Month. And so I say to you, I present a story. The story is titled The Young Crab and His Mother. And the whole point of the story is to lead by example. The story goes as this. A young crab and his mother were spending the day on the beach. The beach is warm sand. The young crab begins to walk around, but only walks sideways in either direction. The mother crab scolds him and tells and explains that he would love and she would love, wait a minute, him to point his toes in the front direction and just walk forward. Well, the young crab explained that he would love to walk forward, but he doesn't know how to do it. Asked his mother to show him. The mother crab gets up and tries to walk forward, but she too can only walk sideways. She sheepishly apologizes and lays back down in the sand. Now, quickly, the lesson here is the concept of do as I say, not as I do, rarely has the same effect as leading by example. When you're in a leadership position, you may not always have the opportunity to lead by example, but you should do it as often as you can. Nobody likes it when you demand that they do something that you can't do. If you can't lead by example and you need someone to do something that you can't do, ask by explaining their strengths and admiring their ability. Instead of saying, I can't do this, you need to start saying, you're saying, I wish I could do this, but you're better at this than I am. Could you please help me out? Leadership skills can be beneficial in all aspects of life if you can learn to be a good leader. You have a better shot in leadership by becoming even a follower. Now, that being said, I'm going to bring in Mr. Harris and ask him, what do you think about our story? My story.
Yeah, well,
leadership.
That's kind of what I deal with every day as an educator. You know, we ask the kids to be able to do some things, and sometimes it's hard for them to follow just your words without you being able to show them. They have this thing called I do, we do, you do. So if you can't do the I do, how are you going to show the kids how to do the we and then for them to do what they're supposed to do? So it's important to if you're going to call yourself a leader in a particular area, you need to be able to, like you said, lead by example. It's very important.
Okay. Tanisha, talk to us. Leading by example.
I took it at a different way. The simple fact that the mother apologized, that shows character. And it shows her that, you know, that she was also wrong. At the same time, it was also corrected because they realized how to solve the problem, that they don't have to go up and down. We could go side to side and still get to where we got to go.
Okay. Walter, have you ever had to follow someone as a young person? Being a young person, the youngest person in the room, have you ever had the mishap of having to follow someone and who told you to do something that they couldn't do?
You know, growing up, especially for somebody who's young, you know, you always look for people who've always done it before you. You always try to look for guidance because you're new coming into the world, you're curious about different things, and you're still trying to get an understanding of what you want to do. So there's just a lot of different people out there that that if you're going for a specific goal or you're trying to reach a certain accolade you want to go follow to make sure that you successfully complete your journey. Yeah, that's what I have to say.
Okay. Well, our student host, Walter Pierce, he will now continue with his next segment, if it's okay with you.
Yes, Curtains. And can you read the intro for Curtains as I get my segment ready?
Absolutely. Not a problem. You're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange, and it's now time for our next segment of Curtains. Curtains is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtains of the stage. You see, many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community, and this is why we like to focus in on the benefits that the community has gained from the artists. Curtains is a review of their musical growth and history, the impact of their particular style and genius, of their general moods and attitudes of the listening audience. Musically and lyrically, social consciousness as presented by an artist over a period of time. And for this particular artist, it was Wax Vinyl Baby Records. Remember that, you young people? Okay, that wasn't part of the script. Curtains serves best as an introduction to and an exploration of particular artists of this morning's his genius and his involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today. And with the message from the artist communicating the effect of the community in a positive way.
Yes, thank you for that. And, you know, now to continue on with my curtain for today, which is John Coltrane. And, you know, when we talk about John Coltrane, as mentioned by people, he is considered on the Mount Rushmore of musicians, you know, with people like Dizzy Gillespie, Duke Ellington, and Miles Davis, which is three people he actually worked with. Now I'm about to explain to you how they came together. So when Coltrane landed back in Philadelphia, he studied at the Randolph Music of School and proceeded to hook up with a number of jazz bands. One of the earliest was a group led by Eddie Cleanhead Vincent, for whom Coltrane switched over to tenor sax. He later joined Jimmy Heath's band, where Coltrane began to fully explore his experimental side. Then, in the fall of 1949, he signed on with a big band led by famed trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie, remaining with the group for the next year and a half. Coltrane had started to earn a name for himself, but during the 1950s, as was the case for other jazz performers, he began to, you know, go on a drug overdose and use drugs on numerous occasions. But gladly, he was able to rebound during the 1950s, where Davis asked him to join his group, the Miles Davis Quintet. Davis encouraged Coltrane to push his creative boundaries while holding him accountable for his habits. With the group working under a new record contract from Columbia Records, the next several years proved fruitful and artistically rewarding, with albums such as the New Miles Davis Quintet, 1956, and The Roundabout Midnight, 1957. Coltrane also played on Davis' seminal masterpiece, Kind of Blue, in 1959. Now, those are, you know, three huge musicians that John Coltrane was able to work with, you know, Dizzy Gillespie, Duke Ellington, and Miles Davis. And, you know, as you can see behind the curtain, you know, there was issues with John Coltrane personally. But gladly, there was people there like Miles Davis who were able to help keep him going and help expand his musical talent, you know, so he could rebound and bounce back, which is just great, you know, when you hear about these four together
again, you know, the greatest or the greatest, you know, musicians to ever do it, to play instruments. You know, I used to play instruments for a good amount of time, and I could tell you, you know, it's something that is difficult, especially what they do. You know, it's something that is a lot of hard work. And, you know, when we're also talking about John Coltrane, you know, behind the curtain, he didn't consider himself of a really political activist, but, you know, he was a person who was very religious and, you know, had a belief in God, which he was, because he believed that music and everything dealing with music came first. Now, you know, we have a couple of John Coltrane's best pieces lined up for you. When you tuned in, and you tuned in to 89.5 WSOU from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange, stay tuned for two pieces by John Coltrane. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to bring in Mr. Harris. Talk to us, first of all, you know, when I looked up Coltrane, I found band leader, modern jazz, and composer. But why is he so prolific to this day?
Well, really, he really approached music as mathematics and physics, because he and Einstein kind of had a common train of thought, you know. And with Einstein's quantum theory, he takes in consideration things that haven't been taken into consideration before, and John Coltrane did the same thing when it came to music. You know, he felt that music and mathematics was extremely close. And being a mathematician as a profession, you know, I was really gravitated to a lot of the stuff he was doing. And later on in his life, when he was doing his extended works, you know, you can kind of hear, if you listen carefully, the different tonal expressions that he was making that no one else had done before that. And he really just opened up the world for other musicians to look beyond what they've normally been hearing and stop copying other people and move on to a spiritual way of looking at things. And you'll come up with some things that can be very creative and, like you said, can last forever.
Walter, I know you don't realize this,
right? But John Coltrane is still being spoken about on a scholarly level to this day. Am I right, Mr. Harris?
Yeah, truly. Truly. And if you are into music on a higher educational level, then you'll definitely be hearing a lot of stuff about his quantum theory on music and geometry. And he had this thing called the tonal circle, where he broke the 360 degrees of sound into five different components called fifths, and there were 72 notes in between. You know, he was really intricate when it came down to doing his music. And that was just one way of expression. There are an infinite way of expressing things if you open your mind to the possibilities.
Right. And there we have our curtain. But our student host, Walter, what you think about Mr. Harrison and myself kicking it on the Coltrane piece? And what did you really know about John Coltrane?
Yeah, it's very important, especially, you know, some of y'all time period, you know, I know I'm calling y'all old, but it's true, you know, y'all are of the older generation when we're talking
about
people like...
Yeah, and you're the younger generation.
When we talk about people, you know, like him, you know, from the, you know, the 50s, 60s, somebody who was just prominent in that era, and, you know, you still hear a lot of his composition, even being using, you know, some of the music for instrumentals, even for today's, you know, new wave of music. When we talk about rap, hip-hop, you know, people like him, Miles, Disney, and people of that nature, their instrumental sounds are still being used today, which is something that is very cool. And you know, I'm glad y'all were able to bring that broad perspective, and even going as far as talking about, you know, scholarly, you know, when we even talk about John Coltrane, which is something that is very cool as well.
Okay, well, we got 90 seconds left, and so I'm going to bring Calvin back. Calvin, give us our appraisal for the day.
Guys, you guys get an A+ today, guys. Very, very great topics you guys talked about. John Coltrane, Mr. Harris kind of said it in his own words on who he is, the genius of what he's done. You guys did a great job. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Tanisha, come on in here and tell us how we did today.
Oh, today was an awesome show. I learned a lot of information. Now I'm going to go do some research on John Coltrane.
Okay. Thank you so much for being a part. And wait a second.
Good morning again, Val. What do you think?
Good morning. Ditto, ditto. Great show. Great show. Amira Baraka, Coltrane, community, all good topics. Nice discussion. Thank you so much.
Okay, Mr. Harris, quickly in 5 seconds, and then Walter, wrap it up.
Yeah, great show. I'm starting to love a lot of these topics that Walter's bringing up, and he needs to continue to do that.
Okay. Walter, close us out.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of St. Hall in South Orange. We're here every week, every Saturday morning. So make sure you wake up and tune in every Saturday morning to listen to our show. And again, our motto is Quest Youth Radio is the best,
radio. And now I leave you with the sounds of Coltrane. Thank you.